in this morning's message, the Lord hears Deliah's cry. The Lord hears Deliah's cry. I just want to speak to you just a few minutes, not long or whatever, about the Lord hears our cries. In the book of Isaiah, which we've been studying, crying to the Lord. We said it's a desperate situation sometimes that brings about to cry out to the Lord. And some of us, the circumstances in our lives brings us to the Lord. And the 30th chapter and 18th verse of Isaiah says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed all they wait for him. Blessed all that wait for him." So God is waiting for us to cry out to him. And that when our cry comes unto the Lord, I'll read one more verse, the 19th verse. It says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thine cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer." This morning we're talking about answering the cry of the lad, talking about Ishmael here. Ishmael, that's Abraham's other son. Sometime in life we end up in situations, in circumstances we may not have placed ourselves in. And whether we've placed ourselves in those circumstances or whether it's just like everyday life that we're living now and we find ourselves in circumstances and situations that are overwhelming, looking to ourselves to come out of those situations or whatever, it's impossible until God wants us to get to that point that we cry out to him for deliverance. We cry out for him. We cry out to him to be saved. He's waiting for us to get to that point to admit our helplessness, looking for that point where God would be glorified, and he's waiting for a chance to be gracious unto us, for he's a very merciful God. Those characteristics of God, a lot of us, the reason we are in the situation, the things that's happening today, because we're nothing like our God. And that's what this is about. That's what life's whole purpose is about, is being reconciled to God, becoming the sons of God, walking as God so walked. He gave us an example. He gave us our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, makes an appearance in these verses today. He makes an appearance in this. The scriptures this morning are coming from the 16th chapter of Genesis. I'll read that whole chapter. "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden and an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Abram, both of them were named Sarai, Abram at this time. There hadn't been a name change. There hadn't been the name change to Abraham. He was Abram. Behold, now the Lord had restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my handmaid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Abram's wife took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife." It's the Egyptian handmaiden that Abraham, through consequence of his own, it went down in Egypt, lied about Sarah or whatever, but Pharaoh had gave him a bunch of Egyptian slaves and a lot of material goods or whatever. And it says after 10 years this came about, that Sarai gave Abram one of her handmaidens as a concubine, as a secondary wife or whatever, to have children. "And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid into thine bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do unto her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly, some version says harshly, dealt very, coming down on her very hard and were oppressive to her. She dealt with her, she fled from her face, and the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of the water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. She was headed back to Egypt. She had left because of Sarah's treatment. The angel of the Lord, this is the incarnate, this is the appearance of Jesus Christ. A lot of times when you see that angel of the Lord, they say this is the appearance of Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament. And we know this, we've heard of the angel of the Lord throughout the Old Testament. Here it says, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, look, return it to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thine seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thine affliction. He heard her crying because of Sarah dealing with her harshly and had put her out. She was headed back to Egypt, back home. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of that place, the Lord that spake unto her, thy God seest. For she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. She looked toward God. And you remember I said the different names of God, Jehovah, Sitkanu, good, Jehovah, Raphael, all of the different names. She called him the Lord that seeth thee, because he was looking at her. And that's what we all need to know, that all of us, God's looking at, and we're in the presence of God. God sees your affliction. He hears you crying out. He's a God that hadn't left, as the deist said, he hadn't created the earth and just left us alone. There's a purpose, and God's eyes run throughout the earth. And it says, wherefore the well was called Beersheba, Rohi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berit. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. He's 86 years old. The promise came when he was 75, but here Sarah says it's taking too long or whatever, and she gives her handmaid to Abraham. He goes into it. I won't read that whole 21st chapter. You need to read it when you go home. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he spoken, as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken him. And Abraham called the name of that son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. That's the promise. Now that something's going on. Now something has happened here. Abram circumcised his son, and Isaac was 8 days old as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. 100. So that's what, 14 years later. So we see that if that's 14 years later when Isaac was born, he was 86 when Ishmael was born. Ishmael is 14 years old, and they say, after he was weaned, and Sarah said, God had made me to laugh so that I hear and will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah is, you notice that his name is Abraham at this time, and that Sarah's name is Sarai at this name. So in between those 16th chapter and the 21st chapter, he becomes the father of many nations. And you remember, Ishmael is one of those nations. Then Sarah had given suck, for I have borne him and a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So after he grew, I don't know what how old the children are when they're weaned, maybe 2 or 3 years old. I know when my children was on the bottle or whatever, I guess my wife weaned them around 1, 2 years old, to, you know, in that area, 2, 3. So that's another 2 or 3 years tacked on to this. But it says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, Abraham, as he had that feast, Abraham saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous unto Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thine bondwoman, and all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearkening to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I won't go into Hagar is a sign of bondage and Sinai, a sign of the law. This had to occur. This is set as the allegory in the book of Ephesians or Galatians. I didn't want to get too far sidetracked with a whole lot of that, but it's an allegory about the bondwoman being cast out, because the law and grace cannot exist or coexist side by side. In other words, there's friction. The flesh fighteth against the spirit. We see that throughout the New Testament analogy. It says Ishmael mocked Isaac or whatever, and we see that Paul's bridge battle was with the Judaizers. Some people want to be saved by works and works of the law, and you cannot be saved that way. Ishmael was born as a child of the flesh. It was Sarah's work in pushing the handmaiden on Abraham, Abraham's failure to follow God, and having Hagar for a wife, and having Ishmael as a son, but it's a sign of the flesh, the carnal side and the fleshly side. And when Isaac was being weaned, that knocked Ishmael out of a lot of stuff. You know, he thought he was to be the inheritor or whatever. He's the firstborn. But I'm sure that he had heard, him and his mother, over those 20-something years or whatever, heard of the promise to Abraham and what God was supposed to do. The friction in our lives comes with, we hadn't studied God's word and how it's supposed to flow. I see throughout the Old Testament, a lot of people were aware of God's word. That's one thing about Satan, where he has advantage over God's children. He's aware of God's word, and he believes. Not that he has faith, not that he has a saving faith, the analogy. So a lot of us hear God's word, but we're not skilled, and our eyes are not open to God's word. This well that she had, where the water was, if you continue reading, this well, Abraham had dug that well. Abraham had that well dug years before, and you'll hear it in there, you know, it's in there. And like I said, I don't want to digress off the beaten path too far, because I couldn't get my point over this morning about the lad crying unto God. And it's a symbol of those of us that are not born again. Those of us are Gentiles. This shows throughout the Gentile thing. We have a place with God that God hears. We're looking at a merciful and graceful God that hears. So here we see that God hears your cry. I guess I would have to continue on in that, though, for you, you know, because I'm going to go on and parse it, break it down a little bit further. As I preach, I was trying to not encompass too much reading in my introduction. But it says, cast out. And God said unto her, let it not be grievous to cast this woman out. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make. Listen at this. He told Abraham to not let it be grieved. But God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thine sight because of the lad, and because of thine bondwoman, in all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here's the time God telling Abraham, listen at your wife. It's a many a time you shouldn't listen at your wife. And he told Adam, because you hadn't listened at your wife. It was sometimes here. If Abraham hadn't listened at his wife, he'd have been in better shape. So that's why we have to be spirit-led. When to hear, when not to hear. How to reply. How to handle consequences in our way. Everyday life is following God's word and the prompting and the teaching of the Spirit to be led by God's Spirit. Because I told you, we were in bondage. We've been in the bondage to Satan so long. Hagar is a sign of being in bondage. And those of us that are in bondage of Satan until God loosed the ties that binds us, we're still going to be making those carnal mistakes. Even when we're born again and in the Word of God, we're not totally loose from all of the bonds of Satan. As we follow the teacher, as we go and learn of God and walk in His Word and increase in faith, we are laying aside the weights and sin that's besetting us. We're seeing more clearly. We're coming to a better understanding. It doesn't happen just by osmosis right away. It's a learning experience. It's a growing experience in God. So here Hagar was around all of these years, so she heard a lot of this. And it's like when I was telling you about Ben-Hadad's men say, well, go plead to the Israeli kings or whatever, because their God is a merciful God and they'll be merciful. So Hagar and Ishmael know that God was merciful and they call out to God. They call to God, and that's what a lot of us do. We call to God, but when God responds and listens, do we start to follow God? Do we start taking heed to God? Listen, he says he'll make that because I'll make him a nation. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent them away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spinning about, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set herself down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, there's that angel of God. Now this is the second time. The first time Hagar went out by herself because Sarah dealt harshly with her. The angel of the Lord told her to go back and be submissive. So she was obedient to the word of God. She went back and submitted herself to God. But now her son gets thrown out. Ishmael teasing Isaac gets them thrown out again. And here she go again in the wilderness. And she's with a 14 to a 17 year old boy. He's in that age sometime or whatever. So when they say it's a lad, they're talking about Isaac. Ishmael at that time probably emaciated. Realized, and that's the desert area. Over in Beersheba, over in all that area. And she was headed back to Egypt. Probably got lost, didn't know her directions. I don't know, did he send some other servants, other people off with her or whatever? But here's a single mother with a child wandering around in the desert with a bottle of water or whatever and just a little bread, and the provisions way out. Now, in that kind of weather, you know, we don't have water in a few hours or a day or two, we start getting thirsty. After a while, we dehydrate. By being young as he is, he probably used a lot of water up. He had a lot of energy or whatever. The older people sustained much longer. But she couldn't see her son die. He was dehydrated. 15 to 17-year-old boy, dehydrated and dying. And she just lay limping through the desert. She cast him under a bush and goes a little way away from him and says, I can't see my son die. And she's crying out to God. That's when the angel of God comes. We see a lot of times we don't look a delve deep into the Bible. We just take them as simple stories that these simple people, we're looking at Hagar, we're looking at Sarah, we so holy rolling and whatever, and we in Abraham's corner, we're in Sarah's corner, and she's an Egyptian, she's this, and we overlook her. But God doesn't overlook those people. They're people. through no fault of her own, Abraham came in with a lie, and that's how she got hooked up with him, is that Sarah had thrown Abraham out because Abraham had lied and said Sarah was his wife and it was bringing a curse on the Egyptian. And Pharaoh gave Abraham a lot of material good plus servants and handmaids, and Hagar was one of them. So Hagar was out there with Abraham, away from her people. We don't know if the relatives and things went, because it was just hand-picked servants, a group of servants that went with Abraham, that Pharaoh had gave to Abraham. So she's going back home to her people. She's thrown out. And it says, "And what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for I, the God, had heard the voice of the lad." Now he says, "I've heard the voice of the lad this time." She was crying about the circumstances of seeing him die. But the lad apparently was crying unto God. He was crying after God. "I've heard the voice of the lad. And I will make," he says, "arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Here she is holding up her son on her shoulders, or however she's holding up a 17-year-old man. A young man, a boy. He's not a baby where she's always there. She's 17. But he says, "Hold him up." He says, "God," and then he says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him up, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled her bog with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. There we are. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Ishmael, Hagar. How I covered everything here. The plight of others in my introduction. When we concern about the plight of others, the worry about, I was telling you on Wednesday night about the homeless, and I see a lot of people out there. God, is this spirit shed abroad in our hearts or whatever, while we didn't start understanding or caring about the plight of others? Does it touch you, or are we becoming more sensitive to these things? See, that's what Jesus Christ was. He was sensitive to these things, to others. It wasn't himself that he was worried about. The world has made us desensitized. We don't care about the others. We care about self and how we feel, what we hear, what we do, or whatever. We're not realizing their consequences or whatever. First point is the situations in life, the things in life. Stay woke with me. Listen up here. It says, sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are not of our own making, but somehow we manage to make those situations worse anyhow. We didn't bring this. Sounds like the thing with Satan and Adam and Eve in the garden. And they made the situation worse. Adam and the devil and everybody. Sometimes you could just mess things up if you're not being led by the Spirit of God. That's why I say we need teachers, the Holy Spirit, to teach us and lead us and guide us. There are also sometimes when we bring things on ourselves and others, we have to watch it, because we get others entangled in our mess, and that's why we have to watch our association, who and what we get hooked up with, and the people and the dealings of our life. That's why we have to be circumspect in everything we do. Good intentions sometimes don't work out so well. That's why we have to examine all we do in prayer and supplication and looking unto the Lord in everything. Looking to his presence, looking and waiting for his prompting and teaching. But we must know his word. We must stay prayed up. So the children of God has a lot of mechanics going on in their lives that they have to be doing. How about Sarah? Sarah 16:1 says, "And Sarah said unto Abraham, Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto thine handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram, this is chapter 16, Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah, and Sarai, Abram wife, Abram's wife, Hagar, her handmaid, that Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land. Abraham shouldn't have listened to his wife. God had promised him that made him have another 14 or 15 years of growing in faith, because he said, didn't God, when he first promised, says you and Sarai should have children? That's why it took him from 75 years old to 100 and some years old before he had Isaac. He didn't have full faith. You understand? A lot of us look into Abraham, a man of faith, and he staggered not at the promises of God. When it says he staggered not, he started walking in the promise of God. A lot of us been on this road a long time, but what we have to have is ever-increasing faith. And that faith depends on obedience to God, how that faith progresses along. Along that way, God, Abraham had lied twice about Sarai being his sister or whatever. Those were setbacks. One of those setbacks is when he acquired Hagar. That brought a problem into his life right then. See, that's the consequences of lying. That same son, Isaac, when there was a famine or whatever, he trusted God and stayed in the land and reaped a hundredfold. But Abraham went down into Egypt to live, and he was worried about himself. He said, they're going to kill me. You act like you my wife, my sister. All this. But Sarai here, she's trying to help God out. She's figured, I'm getting older or whatever. You go into my handmaid. So she pushed, she is this woman that's a servant. It's just like a maid. You know what I'm saying? A maid nowadays. And we see that during the slavery time, where it's a lot of, the reason a lot of us are interracial and the races that we have is the slave owner went into a lot of the women. There's a lot of light-skinned people and a lot of people that's where it got in to mingle. View their boss or whatever in their lives and all this depend on being obedient. She gave him to Abraham. Huh? So that was Sarah's stuff, right? Sarah started that wheels to roll. Abram, let's Abram 16:3-4 says that Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar and gave it. Now, isn't that what Adam did? That God says, because you had listened unto your wife, you knew what I had told you. See, here go Abram listening at Sarah. Her and him has a habit of listening at one another and maybe not counseling and talking with God. See, but those are lessons we have to learn, that it's a lot of times we listen or hear what people are saying, but we may get different opinions or other opinions, or we get different inputs, and then we weigh it before God and ask God the direction to take. You could have several different opinions, but you need God, don't you? The ways of man's are right in his own eyes, but some of them are the ways of death. It depends on God to determine what we do. So Abraham said they never did this thing. Okay. Well, like I said, we fall into other people's sins and consequences here. But Abraham said unto Sarah, after she had conceived, here's another thing Abraham did. Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thine handmaid is in thine hand, do as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt treacherously with her, she fled from her face. You know, a lot of times among your children and among your relatives and people or whatever, you don't want to be the one that speaks out, you know. You don't want to be the thorn in the bush. But as a parent, as a pastor, as a leader, as Sarai, I'll tell you about Hagar in a minute, but when you're in a leadership position, you have to make decisions sometime. And that's why I say, he says, if you don't hate mother, father, sister, brother, or your own life, sometimes it's the ones that's closest to you. Growing up with my children and everything, don't care how the spat started, I didn't want a spat in the house. I didn't want brothers and sisters fighting. And let me get at the root of the matter. The reason, you know, and siblings normally are closer to one another than parents and children are. But you don't want siblings fighting with one another. If an argument is, let me stop this before it starts. That's what's wrong in a lot of churches today. the pastors or the elders don't stop things between the members before it starts, and sooner or later you have people bitter and holding grudges, and you know you done heard the preachers talking about Jones apologized to this one and it wasn't any bitterness. But that's how churches get divided, infighting. That's what we happening at the end times, infighting into the churches. That's how brothers and sisters kill one another. That's what happened between Cain and Abel. It's no intermediate in physically and didn't say a star to try to find out what's going on here. A lot of people fought David because David didn't come in and make an intercession when Amnon raped Tamar, and Absalom wasn't satisfied that David didn't do nothing about it. So Absalom killed Amnon himself. You see, a lot of times the father could say, I do lean a tree. And that's what a lot of times they tell you about sitcoms and things. They show the apprehensive father, the father of bumbling idiots or whatever. We watch it on television where the women at the house have more power than the husband. Sometimes that absolute authority has to work. Who's in charge? You have to foresee these arguments, these fights, what it can boil up to. That's what happened with Jacob's children. See, he had a dysfunctional house. So the two wives that he had, the children was fussing and fighting and worried about Joseph inheriting and Joseph's authority or whatever. They sold him into slavery. That's why God says if a man can't rule his own house, he shouldn't rule the house of God. We have to have harmony. God has to have harmony, and his children will get along. We read that in 1 John, that his children get along with one another. There was disputes going on in the church. And that's what he says, no, God's looking for unity. Unity of the faith, unity of the spirit, and that we would dwell together as God's children. The problem here is too many preachers have taught against the Arab nations, and those calling them those people or whatever. Well, those are sons of Abraham. Didn't he tell Ishmael he'll make him a nation? He'll make him a powerful nation? So why did you cause a division in saying the children of Israel or the Jews or whatever are Jews no more? Anybody can be a Jew. A Jew is a circumcision in the heart, those that have faith in Abraham. So Ishmael, that's the problem. The Israel and the Jews and American Christians and things say, no, the Arab people are enemies and Muhammad and all that. Yeah, you have radicals in their religion just like we have radicals in our religion. But they are sons of Abraham. And if they believe Abraham and that Abraham is a blessing unto them, there's no difference in the two. You remember you brought that up the other day. Sheep of another fold. He has a different fold, those of another fold. He says the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be cast out in the publicans and harlots, those that you call Gentiles, those that you say are strange from the covenant. God will say, these are my people. Hagar. But what about Hagar? We want to keep spreading the blame around here, don't we? Somebody help me keep spreading the blame around here. Hagar 16 and 14. It says, and when Hagar, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. I got pregnant. Something's wrong with you. You defective. Abraham loves me. I got the child here. Remember that happened with Hannah, and Hannah's husband had two wives. That's, you would have a problem when you have two wives anyhow. And whenever you introduce that into equation, if you notice throughout the Bible, it never worked out right. And the other woman was teasing Hannah because she was childless. A lot of people tease people, that's a few people in the church, or her that is barren, or her that has less, somebody that has less, maybe that less is that because they are adhering to God and you got a mega church and you have all these other things because you outside the will of God. You're not toeing the line. Maybe God's, you're not dealing with what God had given you properly. But we see here where Hagar was in the wrong, though. She shouldn't think she was more than her in looking down on Sarah, making us look feel bad about this. She said it was despised, treat her contemptible or whatever. Just because you have something, you have education, you have beauty, you have looks, you have some, you know, Sarai, they say, was a beautiful woman or whatever. But it was that she was barren. But see, sometimes us in Christianity, we think we're more than the publicans and those sinners. I pray, I tithe, I do all this. Or we look down at one another in the church or whatever. You know, you create your own problems sometimes, the consequences of the problems you in. That's why that she throwed her out, is because she started acting this way. She was the one who had given her to Hagar. Giving Hagar to Abraham, maybe she should have acted more grateful and more thankful to Sarah for doing that and being able to carry her husband's child. Yes. See, a lot of us are inconsiderate, unthankful, and ungrateful, and what had caused us to get this way. I was just a body, but your husband's son is within me, and I'm grateful to both of y'all for this, and to God y'all serve. See, so she brought that on her own self, getting thrown out, and she ran. You know, but like I said, we all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. Do you cry out? Do you repent? That's what God's looking for, repentance after making a mistake, the repentance after doing wrong. Isaac. In Genesis 21:9-10, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. This is Ishmael. You'll see Isaac on your paper, but that's a misprint. I wanted to put Ishmael. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. You know, a lot of times Christianities and Christians have been tormented and persecuted. I don't know if Isaac was a weakly child or anything of a problem, or that Ishmael felt displaced or whatever, but he was mocking him. And Sarah looked out and she says, I'm not going to have that. And that's what a parent has to do. Abraham needed peace in his home. When my children growing up, I had six children. But no mocking of fooling with one another. Well, you don't understand that. Yeah, but it was brought to my attention. That's why you might react different. You know, in the NFL, they got a rule that the official, a lot of times it's a bad rule, you know, unless they could review this and they done brought videotape and thing in there. But they not like God knows why things happen. But a lot of times you have to take getting torn at a hit or pushed or whatever. They throw the flag a lot of times because this guy reacted. He didn't hit you. He didn't did you something, but the referee see what he did you, but you didn't run up there and slug him, or you did something and hit this guy or whatever, and they get you called retaliation. You retaliate, and you get criminalized. Sometimes the spur of a moment, you're doing something, and you retaliate and get... So the referee has to keep a level of peace in the game. He has to bring anarchy out. That's why a lot of times they throw the flag on the court or something. If he comes across a certain line, a certain portion of the field or whatever, you're about to bring anarchy here. Everybody's going to be fighting and fussing and going on. Other words and things, you have to keep anarchy down in your home. You have to keep anarchy down in the church. It's God's... And that's what we have to learn, that it's God's responsibility to keep anarchy down in the world, that we be obedient, and Hagar says, God that sees, God saw Sarah being harsh to her and rough to her. God saw what was going on in Ishmael's mind. He saw what was going on. He always, and he sees all. So we have to have that confidence that God sees.
Yeah.
This young 17-year-old boy or whatever, he made a mistake teasing and mocking, but he got his family thrown out. He got him and Hagar thrown out. Put them put out on side the road. Give them some water and bread and throw them out of here. You know, the parents get you thrown out of an apartment complex. Those juveniles that did something the other day. Some of the parents say, no, don't run up in here. Two of the parents brought the children back. They called the police. It was one of the girlfriends or something that helped one of them escape. Well, now she's in trouble for aiding, abetting a felon. You know, sometimes other people can make their problems your problem, and the consequences will be grave for her, for those things. So here, Ishmael gets her thrown out. We see the temperament. That's a fruit of the Spirit. We have to have balanced temperament. We have to be grave and temperate. We have to not respond so quickly. It was her response, Hagar's response, that got her in trouble. Her temperament, she just fled. God told her to go back and be submissive, submit to Sarah. You know, a lot of times, to be submitted, you have to take a lot of things. But if God tells you to be submissive, as he told the wife to submit themselves to their husband, as he said in the church, we should be submitted to one another. That means that he's watching to see who's breaking that rule of submitment. Now, God sees. That's why you have to let God take consequences. Let God handle retaliation. Let God handle revenge. You cry out unto the Lord for what's going on with you. He hears your cry, and he sets up there, he sees all. He sets high and looks low. He's seeing this. Abraham's temperament, it grieved Abraham, but he was being an older man or whatever, and kind of passive there. But he went on and carried out the verdict. He threw her out. He cast Hagar out. God had told him, though, because it seemed like Abraham didn't want to do this. These people, we looking at it on scripture, and a lot of us sitting in the church, what you'd have done. Yeah, it's easy to say what you would have done when you just sitting there hearing somebody else talk about it, whatever. But you walk a mile in his shoes. You be put in that situation. You talk about other people or whatever. The way God puts affliction or adversity in your life and see how you react. We could sit back and an armchair quarterback all we want. But if you was down there, the shoe's on the other foot. So, but he, just like Joseph thought how to put away very privately, here it is, this was grieving Abraham, but God came to Abraham and calmed him down and said, let this not grieve you, but listen at Sarah. This time, listen at your wife. See, all this is part of the allegory I told you that Paul spoke of, and it's in Ephesians or Galatians. I didn't write it down because I wasn't going to get carried off on that tangent. But it's an allegory. That's a lot of preaching within itself there. So that's what God uses these things as examples for us or whatever. But it's a type and shadow of grace and the law, the child of the promise and the child of the flesh. We see here the temperament of Ishmael. He shouldn't have teased the child. Israel, if you go back, that was part of the characteristic that everybody was going to always be against him. He was going to be a hairy man, that he was going to be a wild ass of a man. In other words, this Esau, it was part of his nature, and in that nature, he was going to have to end up looking to God for God to calm that nature, for God to bring him into subjection. I don't want to stop the courting, but as he said, and the Lord said, told her to return and be subject unto Sarai. But he said that Esau was going to be, God said, and dwell in the wilderness. Anyhow, I'll tell you about it in my conclusion. I think I have it in my conclusion. The second thing, the consequences for our action. They're true consequences. And I told you, it comes from there's a nature, an old man, that all of us have to be converted from. And that we have to be aware of. And that's why we have to be led by the Spirit to be able to deal with these consequences. When our true natures come out, it causes problems. And it's not regenerated in the Lord. That's why it's there. That old nature's not regenerating. Hagar, and he went, it says 16:4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So that nature, that pride, that arrogance came out in Hagar. She should have been aware that she couldn't have been, though, because the spirit wasn't there. Our ways, the things we're doing, we think they are right, but they are wrong. They're not converted ways. They're not born again. Not knowing God. Sarai 16:6, it says, but Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thine handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as he pleaseth. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Sarai shouldn't have did that, because she was the one who introduced Hagar into that equation. She's the one who had gave her to Abraham as a wife, not knowing that all this was the wisdom of God in his plan. It was purpose. This is a way that, goes on, and that her life would change after then, and the world would change, but that she had things in her life that we don't read of that Sarah dealt with or whatever. Sarai. But she had good ways and good things about her. So we're thinking about the plight of all these people. Are they people in your sight, or are they just names? Are you not thinking intimately about these people? And it says, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. So as I told you, his nature was that this was his son that you're talking about throwing out, that I'll never see again, that I'm going to do this to my own flesh and blood. It grieved him. So he had to, this was building up faith in God, because even with his next son, God was going to ask him to take him out and kill him. So this is building faith in him also. Abraham 16:5 says, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my handmaid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eye. So Abraham had something here, because he says, my wrong be upon you. You the cause of this wrong. As a man, you shouldn't have let me err this way. See, that's what happened to Adam. He shouldn't have listened to that. He wasn't running. That's why in the church, if you notice, God addresses the angel of the church in the Revelation. God's always going to address the head. He's going to address the one in charge for allowing this, the servant that he had left the household over to, that he's going to come back and address. That's happened. Last point is here, crying to God. Crying to God. Now, no other alternatives with things are against God. God sees our afflictions. Remember that. That's the point, that God sees and God knows of our afflictions and what's going on. So with Sarai crying out and all that, the torment of her being barren or whatever, we see in the 21st verse, now it says, Sarah bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, and it hurt her to do this, to put another woman in your man husband's arm. We know that was grievous to her. And that. So are we looking at the affliction and why Sarah cried unto God, and God did reward Sarah? It couldn't have been easy, though. Hagar, it says, 16th chapter, she cried to God twice, but only one time is recorded God hearing her cry. The second time, it was God heard the last cry. But even in this time, she didn't really cry out to God. She was so hurt, like Hannah was hurt. She was just hurt within in affliction, and she fled. And it says, and the angel of the Lord found her by the water. You remember I told you, sometimes God calls people unto them. We started that last week, that God saw the affliction of the woman that needed to be healed, that had was in that condition 18 years, and God healed her. God called her unto him. So God, the angel of God, found her by the water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither thou goest? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And an angel of the Lord said unto her, return unto thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her. He heard her. He's seen her affliction. He gives us the water of adversity and he gives us affliction. But he sees us, how are we handling that affliction? And she handled it by submitting herself to God, submitting herself back unto Sarai, a woman that have harshly treated her wrong. God sees the people that are oppressing you. God sees the afflictions you're going through. But you submit yourself unto God. He gives you greater grace. He told Paul, isn't my grace sufficient for you? He had a thorn in the flesh, but that thorn was given by God for a purpose and a reason. How about Ishmael? Ishmael, it says, the 21st chapter says, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God had heard the voice of the lad. It didn't say that time. We know Hagar was over there. She was crying. She was upset about the plight of her son. You can't see your children dying. That's not natural to you. Your children dying. You in their sickness with them. You right there as a parent. You with that child. And sometimes you wish it was you. You just can't witness this. What ails you here? I hear, I'm telling you, I hear your son crying under me. I hear his cry. See, so here all of these people in situations they hadn't put themselves in situations they've gotten caught up in by someone else, in situations they might have brought on themselves. But here God is, he hearing all of them's cry. God sees their plight. He sees their afflictions. Conclusion. How do we end this? Let me try to wrap this and end up this in a way that we know God hears our cries. What is your cry today? What's hurting you, even though you've gotten yourself in that? Do you believe that God is getting you out of that? He's loosening the bonds that so easily binds you? You trusted our faith in Him? We all need for God to open up our eyes to see the wells of water springing up to eternal life. That was a well that son's father had dug. I told you Abraham had dug that well in Bathsheba. It was covered up. She didn't see the well, but apparently didn't see the well. And when God told her about the well, she looked over. I don't want to intervene here, but she looked over and saw the well. And God opened her eyes, the 19th verse of the 21st chapter. And God opened her eyes, and she saw the well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. Are we seeing the wells of water in life? It's something about those wells of water. The woman of Samaria, Jesus came to her and he said, you wouldn't want to draw no water. If you would come unto me, I'll give you thirst. I'll give you drink and you won't have to come to this well again. He's the well of water. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. He said, if you would follow him as the scriptures, if you would believe on me as the scriptures had said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So it's something about that God-giving water that gives you eternal life, that gives you a victory, but you can't see it till God opens up your eyes. It's like the burning bush. No telling how many times that Moses had passed that bush that was burning, that God opened his eyes to see that bush that was burning. Have God opened your eyes to see the well of water? Have you heard the words of God preach, those words of faith that's capable of giving you everlasting life, that's capable of leading you to the God of everlasting life? He opened up her eyes. Sarah was rewarded with a son in her old age. She cried and believed upon God. Genesis 21 and 20, it says, and the Lord visited, 21 and 1, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him Isaac, whom Sarah had bare. Not Hagar, not anyone else. But Sarah bore this son, just as God's word had promised. If we would take heed, hear his word, it's going to take a whole lot of fighting of people's input and going on the wrong trail or whatever. But if we grow toward God and hear His word and walk therein, our end will result in much better because He hears our cry. He tells us to cry unto Him. He's waiting patiently for us to cry unto Him for direction. Hagar. Hagar cried unto Him for direction. In His mercy, God hears those cries. Genesis 16, 10 through 16. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thine affliction. And he will be a wild man. That's what I was looking for. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brothers. And notice, all the people come out through all the nations against the Arabs today. United States partners with Israel and everybody else. But you got to remember that those Arabs are God's children also. That God said, I'll make Ishmael a nation, and all people will against you. When all people against you, don't buckle in. Just because the crowd is going against you, if God be for you, who can be against you? You see, it's wrong preaching and teaching that's been brought about the wars of the world. It has brought about the hatred of other nations and other people. And it was Jesus Christ who had commissioned us to go into all nations. Go into all nations making disciples. Not some nations, into all nations making disciples. God wished that all men be saved. Stop letting religion and people divide you and cause you to hate other people. It's people that caused us to hate other people, and that once we were hated the same way. They're having problems now with Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day because we invaded this nation, this country, and started to dispel the inhabitants, the Indians, and we call them savage. And we look at all our cowboy movies, John Wayne, Audie Murphy, all of these, Gary Cooper, all of these old pictures where they shooting and killing the Indians, the savages, the red face and all this. And now God has people rising up and said, these two are people. These two are people, and look what they have done. You're not looking at them for what they are. We were just like Hagar. We were brought here as slaves in bondage from Africa in ships and things bound, and a lot of us are rising. No matter how high you rise, you can rise to the president of the United States of this nation, but it's still going to have people divided and hating you. You can't give in to the crowds. They never did. Follow Obama, all of everybody didn't work for him. Everybody didn't do this. But he was enslaved, he was in bondage, and his parents was just like Hagar and Abraham. They was of different races. Don't let these things cause you to succumb. God is your father. Cry out to God. No matter who you are an individual before God, created by him, your father. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thy God seeth me. For she said, Have I also here looked up after him that seeth me? And so Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare him, Ishmael. And Abraham was fourscore, that's 86 years old, when Ishmael was born. God gives us clarity and understanding. God opened our eyes and told her where that will was. But in between that time, we see that a part of that multiplication of Abram's seed caused him to be called Abraham. And chapter 16 and 10, it says, And the angel of the Lord said unto her, This is Jesus Christ. This is the word of God speaking to Hagar. We see throughout the Old Testament where God and the angel of the Lord spoken to Gentiles. He said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. That it shall not be numbered for multitude. And among them, I'm granted that many of them believe. God's presence had to be with these people for them to still exist throughout to this day. There's other scripture I can preach and bring in on here would cause me to have to parse this so much more. But Abraham was rewarded with another nation. For God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thine sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. All that Sarai had said, do, hearken unto her voice. And also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he's your seed, Abraham. I'll make him a nation. I'll make him a great nation. Israel to this day are the Arab people. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I'll make him a great nation. We have a lot of women that's holding up men today, holding up their sons. My mother held me up. No, you know, I can look back at the countless things that my mother went through and sacrificed for me to get where I am. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I want to glorify God, and that shows that my mother was interested and cared in me and pointed me in the right direction. She said, preach the word. You cry unto God. It's a lot of differences and things along the way. When I found religion, you remember I told you, I went back and was saying about Jesus, but she says, you pray to God. You pray to the Father. To this day, I remember that specifically. You pray to God. You call out to God. And when Jesus came along, he says, when you pray, pray our Father. You pray Abba Father. He's adopted you now. He's our Father. Everybody can't pray that prayer because then God, they can't pray it fervently and effectually because they don't feel that God's watching them and that God will deliver. You have to have that faith, that belief that if you cry out unto God, he'll hear you. He'll deliver you. He'll bring you to that place. He'll give you peace and joy. He's just waiting for you to turn unto him and say, our Father, save me. Deliver me. He's waiting to be gracious and merciful to you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,